Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are currently in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we come today to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. Actually, we got a little bit of unfinished business in verse 16 too. So we'll back it up a verse or two, and pick it up right there. Get your Bible, open it up to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. While you're doing that, the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And you can study the Old Testament and the New Testament from Genesis through Revelation, verse by verse. Do it at your pace. Do it at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages, just like we're going to do today. All you need to bring is your Bible and a hunger for God's Word. It's there for you at thebibleversebyverse.com. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, yeah, let's begin in verse 16. Repent, Jesus says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And that's the Word of God. Jesus is going to fight against you if you don't repent of your sins and receive him as Lord and Savior with the sword of his mouth. And just like he spoke this world into existence in 6 days, he will speak this world out of existence, but it won't take him 6 days. It'll take him about as long as it takes for him to say, blow up world in one huge, massive nuclear explosion. And then he's going to create a new one again. But this one's going. But before he does that, he's going to speak a word to you. If you refuse to repent, the sword of his mouth is going to say to you, depart from me into everlasting fire, reserved for the devil and his angels. And before you can even think about it, you'll be falling into the pit of hell, and you will never get out. That's God's word to impenitent sinners. Right now you have time. I don't know how much time you have. You might be dead 2 seconds from now, but you better call out to Jesus right now and ask him to save you. Because if you don't, you will hear those words on Judgment Day. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it. And of course, many of you know what manna is. Manna is the bread that fell from heaven every morning for the Israelites for 40 years as they traveled through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And manna was a picture of Jesus Christ, who is the real bread of life. If we live for Jesus, we will enjoy Jesus. If we live for Jesus, he will instruct us, and he will encourage us, and he will feed us spiritually to strengthen our souls and our faith, to give us courage and holiness to endure whatever comes our way in this life. He is the spiritual manna, the real food for our soul. When we live as Christians For the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us the spiritual food that we need to continue to live for Him. Don't tolerate sin, Christian. Do not tolerate sin. Do not play fast and loose with sin. Do not think that it's not a big deal, as some are saying and some teach. Sin short circuits our fellowship with Jesus Christ. It drains our spiritual energy. It causes us to become lukewarm. And sin, for that reason, will beget more sin. Sin deprives us of the spiritual nourishment until at last we starve to death, spiritually speaking. We have no faith left. Don't mess with sin. And when you do sin, confess it immediately, repent of it immediately, and get a fresh start. Don't waste time. Don't wait. Let's read 17 again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it. Acts 11:26 says that the believers were first called Christians in Antioch. When we commit to Jesus and we commit to holiness out of appreciation for what Christ has done for us on the cross, we become Christians. And you know what that word Christian means? Like Christ. That's why the people in Antioch were first called Christians, because they acted like Christ. They talked about Christ. They talked about the word of Christ. And they acted like Christ. So they were called Christians. When you make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ and you decide you're going to serve Him out of appreciation for what He has done for you on the cross, paying for your sins, you become a Christian. You become like Christ. Now, many people are called Christians by men. The name means nothing. But Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows if our faith is real. So when Jesus writes our name in His book of Christians or His book of life, you've got something. You got something important. This name on a white stone is meant to signify honor given to the one who truly belongs to the Savior. Verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath His eyes like a flame of fire, and His feet are like fine bronze. The eyes of fire speak of Jesus' perfect knowledge. One great reason to accept the Word of God is because God knows what He is talking about. Many times people, even well-meaning people, say things, and they are sincere, but they don't know what they're talking about. That is never the case with Jesus. He knows what He's talking about. God knows what He's talking about. He's given us His word. It's always right. It never fails. And it never comes back to Him void. You can build your life on it because it is truth. Every word of it. Verse 19, I know thy works and love and service and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Jesus knows everything about us, our sin, our holiness. He knows if we are trying to serve him, even when we fail. He knows if we care about him and we sincerely want to do better. Don't ever quit trying to be a better Christian than you are today. It pays to work at improving, even though we fail in the process, because Jesus knows our heart. He knows if we're doing that, and he appreciates that, obviously, from what he says right here. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in spite of you trying hard, Jesus says, in spite of you doing better than what you used to do, nevertheless, verse 20, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So, the people, the Christians in the church in Thyatira, did some things right. And they were doing better than what they had in the past. But this was very wrong. They were tolerating this woman, Jezebel, which means that they tolerated sin, and they tolerated unbiblical teaching, and Jesus is not happy about that. It's important for us to realize as Christians that Jesus knows what's going on. He knows if we're supporting a church, going to a church that tolerates sin, that turns a blind eye to sinners, and tolerates false teaching for the sake of expediency, for the sake of numbers, whatever the case may be. And he is not happy about that. You know, there's a difference between battling sin and tolerating sin. Sincere Christians battle against their sin. False Christians tolerate their sin. Jesus will help us battle, but he will punish an I don't care attitude towards sin. Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God wouldn't have to give anyone time to repent, but often he does. Keep in mind that God is holy, that his holiness standard for us is not to have our good works outweigh our bad works. His holiness standard for us is sinless perfection. And there is a death penalty in place for anyone who does not reach that standard. The wages of sin is death. Just reminding what God's word says. And I said that to say this. God Almighty has every right in the world to snuff out the life of those who do evil and send them to hell. But most of the time, he doesn't. At least not right away. Oh, he will eventually if they don't repent. But he could do it right now. Most of the time he doesn't. There are occasions when he does. But most of the time he doesn't. Not right away. God puts up with what he hates, and that's sin. He puts up with what he hates and has every right to hate because it is morally wrong. And it is an affront to his holy character. He puts up with it much longer than people endure what they hate simply because it makes them feel bad. Now you think about that for a second. God puts up with something that is absolutely morally abhorrent, that is wrong, that is vile, that is filthy, that violates his holy character. He puts up with that, as a rule, much longer than most human beings will put up with something that they hate simply because it makes them uncomfortable or they don't like it. That's to showcase God's patience. But having said that, I need to remind you, as Jesus reminds us here, that his great patience does have a limit. Notice 21 and 22. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. No one should ever think that God's patience is an unwillingness or an inability to punish sinners. If someone wants to suffer intensely, if they think that whatever temporary pleasure they get from sin is worth that, then I'd say carry on. But you are a fool. If you think that the temporary pleasure you get from whatever sin it is that you indulge in and refuse to repent of is worth intense suffering that will go on forever, have at it. But you are a first-class moron, a first-class fool. Yes, Jesus is willing to forgive. But if one is unwilling to repent, then God's justice ensures that they will suffer intensely. And it will never stop. And if you think any sin is worth that, then there's nothing I can say to you. 23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And please notice that he is talking to Christians. This entire book of Revelation is written to Christians. This particular verse is written first and foremost to the church in Thyatira. It is written to us. False teachers and their children, that is, those who follow them, listen to me, will be struck dead. It is not a light thing to laugh at false teaching, to say, well, we should not judge false teachers, knowing that it's wrong, that what they teach is unbiblical. Those who follow false teachers and the false teachers themselves will be struck dead. It is not a light thing. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's trying to tell us? He is trying to tell us that truth matters. What the Word of God says matters. It matters. Rightly dividing the Word of God matters. Teaching the truth matters. Because what we believe affects how we behave, and we will be judged according to our behavior. Look at the words Jesus uses to describe the end of those who will not repent. What does he say? Suffer intensely. What else does he say? Struck dead. If your concept of God is one of him being a soft-headed, soft-hearted, sickening, sweet, mushy deity who continues to overlook the sin of people who don't repent, then you better take a closer look at what Scripture says. Or someday, you will find that it's too late. Many people who call themselves Christians have been lulled into a spiritual stupor by lukewarm preachers and an entertainment-driven church. And they are in for the shock of their life, because this truth, my friends, is not going away. 24. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. The depths of Satan. Satan's so-called deep secrets. You know what those are? You know what Jesus refers to when he says that? They are lies disguised as spirituality. They often come in the form of brand new teachings never seen before in the history of the church, or new revelations. God told me, oh boy, is that guy spiritual? And then he proceeds to say something off the wall, stupid, unbiblical, and nobody in the audience has the spiritual sense to discern between right and wrong, because they're not taught the Word of God as they should be. But that, you know, the deep things of the devil, things that contradict the Word of God, but come disguised as, oh, real spiritual. Never before seen in the history of the, this is new revelation. We finally got it. Oh, and the purveyors of those deep secrets of the devil convince people that if they want the real truth, and if they really want to follow Christ, then they have to accept their teachings. Don't you judge me when I say I had a word from God. That's the only thing that cannot be discerned and judged as wrong, is when somebody says, I've had a word from God. In many circles, that's the way it is. Or I've had a dream, or I had a vision, or God told me. Nobody has the guts to stand up in those places and say, that's wrong, you're off the wall, it doesn't measure up with Scripture. Because you know why? You will quickly be denounced as being judgmental. Well, do it. Be judgmental. See, all this stuff appeals to the pride of man. We've got something that nobody else has. Our preacher heard directly from God. We have the guardians of truth. What does Jesus call them? The deep things of Satan. Things that contradict Scripture, but look so deep, so spiritual. Measure all things by the Word of God, my friends. 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Hang on to the orthodox truth, in other words, which has stood the test of time. Hang on to the truth that Bible believers have taught and lived and died for since the beginning of Christianity. 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And so Jesus is the one who is going to rule over the wicked in this sense. On Judgment Day, he will dash them to pieces and cast them into hell. He's going to dash them to pieces, and then he's going to put them back together again in an eternal body that will never die, but sure will feel pain. And then he will cast them into hell. And meanwhile, Christians will share in his victory over evil. Christians win in the end. Again, that is the main message of this book. Christians win in the end. The point is this: your perseverance with Christ will pay off in the end. No matter what it may cost you as far as this world is concerned, it will pay off in the end. Don't sell out for anyone. Don't sell out for any relationship. Don't sell out to some. Don't sell out to sin. Don't sell out to compromise to keep a relationship going. Don't sell out to sin. Don't sell out to compromise with truth to keep a friendship going, to stay in good standings, to be popular, to have money. Don't sell out for any reason. Because if you do, you will be one of those who are dashed in pieces, put back together, and then thrown into hell. If you don't sell out, if you persevere to the end, as we have seen Jesus say, you will be saved. You say, that sounds like salvation by works. No, it isn't. That's salvation by faith. You can't work your way to heaven. Your works don't even contribute to your salvation, friends. Your faith is what saves you. But if you sell out on Christ, you obviously don't have faith. Your faith must persevere. That's the definition of saving faith. Look at verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to give them, somebody who perseveres to the end, I'm going to give them the morning star. You know what the Bible calls the morning star? You know who the Bible refers to as the morning star? Jesus himself. It's true. The Bible calls Jesus the morning star. In other words, Jesus' gift to his people is himself. And Jesus is the best gift that we can have as Christians. He really is. You talk about being blessed for receiving Christ. You talk about being blessed for living for Jesus. The greatest blessing that you could possibly ever enjoy is just Jesus. It's just having him in your life and enjoying fellowship with him. And he is all that we need. Jesus is the source of all good things. If you have him, you have everything. Plus, there is greater joy in fellowshipping with Jesus than all the joy and all the happiness that Satan and the demons can muster together and give you for committing a sin. Doesn't even come close to scratching the surface of the joy that we receive from fellowshipping with Christ. Out of time. Continue studying the Word of God with me, though, until we meet again next time. Go to the Bible, versebyverse.com, and study the Word of God at your pace, at your convenience. Whatever book of the Bible you want to study, I suggest begin in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation, as many have and are doing right now. Why not join them? Take a journey through the whole Bible, studying it all with me, verse by verse, using my audio Bible messages. That's at the BibleVerseByVerse.com. But however you choose to study the Word of God, study the Word of God. And please remember that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. Never have been, never will be. This is just a faith ministry that means that I depend on listeners like you who truly love God's Word and want to be a part of this ministry. And if you do, please pray for me. Pray for the Word of God. I appreciate that very much. And also click the donate button at the top of the front page at the BibleVerseByVerse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Be a part of this ministry. Help me get out the Word of God. We'll get it out together, okay? Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long.